As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like magazine food critic and James Beard Award finalist Jason DeRussia. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRussia eats.
They have 9 million followers on social media. Their account came out way before a lot of the food influencers and recipe developers, and it started right here in the Twin Cities of Minnesota. Our guests on DeRussia Eats today are family, they're celebrities, and now they're cookbook authors as well. How about this? Alia and Radwa, and say your last name.
El Kavas.
Alia and Radwa Elkavas are with us on DeRussia Eats. It's so good to have you both here.
Thank you for having us. We're really excited to be here.
I know. It's so good to see you.
Tell me what it means as you're holding your book that just came out, your cookbook. What does this mean to have your first cookbook?
Very surreal.
Yeah, it is. It has been such an experience, but I think holding it in our hands finally with all this work that we put into it, it's been 2.5 years of developing the recipes to, you know, creating what we're going to put in the book. So it is very humbling.
Your audience knows you as the Food Dolls. Mm-hmm. Food Dolls started as a Facebook account originally.
Correct.
And you're both sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
From Eden Prairie.
Yep.
Yes. Correct.
Take me back to like what had you starting this social media account, the Facebook at first.
It's really funny because when we first started Facebook, we just one day talked to each other on the phone and we're like, we should create food videos with having no background in anything with cooking, like culinary school. We just were stay-at-home moms. And one thing that her and I always did together was we always would talk on the phone like, hey, what are you making for dinner today? And so we're like,
just a couple of moms talking about what you were making.
Just a chit chat. Yep. And so we're like, let's just create videos. So we were like, we're never going to blog. We're never going to do that. Let's just do videos. And then here we are today, blogging, creating a cookbook, doing all the things.
Alia, you were what did you study in school?
So I did sociology and anthropology. So definitely nothing in the food world.
And Radwa, you were?
A dental hygienist.
So you both go to school. For totally different things.
Yeah.
You just cooked for fun for the family, right?
Pretty much. We started, like when we were younger, we would start by baking together. Mm-hmm. We made cookies, whatever, brownies, all that good stuff. And it wasn't until after we got married that we were like, okay, we have to figure out what we're making for dinner.
Yeah, we had to feed the family. So we had to feed the family. We had to figure out what we were going to make.
Now, were you surrounded by culinary influences as kids, as sisters?
Well, our mom loved to cook, mm-hmm. and so
your parents are Egyptian.
Yes, so they immigrated to Minnesota in the 80s, and they
both
always,
parents, your mom and dad, are both from Egypt.
Yes,
did they meet in Egypt?
They did.
Yep.
So and they came here.
Yep. Correct. And it was very important for my mom to continue our Egyptian tradition and cook all Egyptian recipes that we love. And
what was the favorite thing that she made for you guys? Do you have a favorite as a kid?
For sure, her kofta, I would have to say. Mm. Yep. And we had to put the recipe in the cookbook.
Oh, you got mom's cookbook? Yep. Oh, yeah. I love it.
There's actually several of her famous recipes that we had to have in there because she is such a big influence on not just...
Just us and our upbringing.
Yeah, and our book, and we had to give mom some love in there.
The food dolls are our guests, Ali and Rabwa. Now, when I was a kid, my mom was like, I hope she's not listening. She was not a good cook. I thought she was a good cook. Yeah. She was, she cooked with love, but... When I started writing about food and talking about food, my family thought this was hilarious because growing up, like, we had frozen dinners and, like, all the normal stuff kids in the early 80s were having. So I ask you, like, when you started doing food videos, was your mom like, come on, like, these two are doing food? What did your mom think?
Well, oh, for sure.
It's funny because our dad would always be like, because it's... Like in our culture, like when you get married, the women cook and all that. So our dad was just like, you guys are not going to ever know how to cook. You're not going to know how to do anything because we were never wanting to be in the kitchen with mom. And so...
Yeah. So now we get to rub it in his face that we have now a cookbook and people are actually coming to us for recipes.
9 million followers, Dad.
Oh, yeah. We make sure he knows that all the time.
When you look back at your first videos, like what you have a distinctive style in your videos today.
Yep.
But when you started, what was the approach?
You know, it's really funny that you asked that because we had no idea what we were doing. And every single video that we were posting, it was like we had like one eye closed. Yeah. So it was very different because we had no editing skills. We had no videography skills, photography skills, nothing. So we were just trying to like figure it out.
Yeah. This was 2015?
2015. Yeah. And we even, the recipes, looking back at the recipes from what we were doing and creating then to now, completely different. And I think our biggest takeaway is we've learned that not only do we want easy recipies for ourselves, for our everyday, we know other people want easy recipes, that you can create recipes that are super easy, simple, but yet taste so delicious, and you'll be coming back for more.
Is there an element of imposter syndrome when you're... a mom, and I don't want to say like just a mom, but you both are young women doing your thing online, but you're not cooks, you're not chefs, and I think sometimes the classically trained cooks or chefs might be like, you know what, screw these influencers. Like, why is it that every cookbook today is some beautiful influencer? And you both are beautiful. Yeah. Like, I think that's part of your success. Right? I'll ask you more about that in a minute. But, like, what do you think about that pushback? Did you ever question yourself as to whether you were, like, legit enough to be teaching people recipes?
Yes, for sure. But I think the biggest takeaway is even if you are a chef, you're not necessarily cooking gourmet meals for yourself every day. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes between having kids, activities, and school and work full time, you just don't have the capacity to make a gourmet meal every day or even on the...
No doubt. Most, like, cookbooks written by chefs, like, they're fun to read, but, like, come on.
Yeah. Or it's something you do on occasion or on the weekend. I mean, I'm not knocking that at all.
Yeah, like, it's just a different scale.
I love going out to restaurants and eating, like different chefs' meals. But I think for day-to-day, sometimes you just need that quick meal, you know?
Did you doubt yourself ever, Rodwa, where you thought, like, I don't know if I, like, what am I doing?
Absolutely. I mean, I'd be lying if we didn't. We definitely had doubts at times. But, you know, I think when you get such a response from people sending you messages like, I love this recipe. Oh my gosh, this was so easy. I love this. The family loved it. This is a staple every week. It really does build your confidence up of like, okay, I do know what we're doing. We got this. And sometimes if she's feeling down, I got to pick her up. If I'm feeling down about it, she picks me up kind of thing.
Do you remember the first recipe you did that clicked, that really got a response?
Okay, that's a loaded question because with social media, as you know, when something goes viral, it's different. Things going viral back in 2015 is completely different than it going viral now. But I think
how so? What do you mean?
The algorithm.
Yeah.
the algorithm.
And I think our biggest...
It used to be just like if it was good, it would go.
100%. Yeah. Yep. Now it's totally different. Yep. I think our biggest one when Food Dolls really took off was when we made the oven-baked spaghetti.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, it was like you had a 50-50 split on what this recipe was all about and the people that loved it and the people that knocked on it.
Like all of the, like we had, I think Italy.
Yeah, like, was very mad at us.
People Italy was like this Italy, is not spaghetti.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Tell people what the recipe was or how that worked.
It literally, the reason why we kind of created this recipe is like when we think about things is what can we do to make people's lives easier? So if you throw everything into a baking dish, pop it in the oven, there's dinner, you got it ready.
Kind of a one pan idea.
Just something super easy. And so we just thought, okay, let's just throw everything in this baking dish, throw it in the oven, and here you've got oven-baked spaghetti. And people attacked us for that
one. Especially, like Italian grad. Everybody's Nona. Oh my God, we saw
so many Nona came out of the graveyard. They're so mad. Yeah.
So how old are you guys in 2015 when you started this?
Do the math.
10 years ago.
27.
So you're 27.
I was... So 4 years older.
Rodwa's the younger one.
Yep. So I was 31.
Yep.
Yep.
And so at that point when you're getting like roasted by Nonas, like are you in a headspace to be able to like process that or accept it? Or how crushing was this? Like, oh, people are being mean to us. Or like, was that a thing?
Such a good question.
Yeah. I think doing what we do, you just have to learn how to have thick skin.
Yeah, but you didn't at the beginning, did you?
Yeah, that's very true.
It took some time.
Yeah.
Like I used to not know how to take it. And still 100%. Sometimes it hurts.
Yeah. It definitely
Isn't
does.
It surprising today? Yeah. You're like, oh, I have 9 million followers. Screw the haters. Who cares?
Yeah.
And... Yep. Every once in a while, somebody gets you.
Yeah, and it just doesn't feel good.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
It does hurt. You're normal people.
Yep.
But people often online, people think you're, I don't know, do they think you don't read the comments or what do they think?
I don't know.
I think they think we see it. And I think the biggest thing is I feel like, okay, when someone says something to us, we kind of have each other to kind of say, okay, let's not let this one get to us. This is not a big deal. And now we really just don't care because there's always going to be someone that's hating on you for what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know? Then don't make our recipe. If you're really mad at us, don't make a recipe.
Is it more the hate that you two get, is it more personal or is it more... About the recipe or the food. It's a little of both.
Yeah.
So let's break that down a little bit because it's sort of different, right? Like if people attack your recipe, fine.
Yeah.
But do they come for your looks or for what do they come for you guys? Your voice?
we got our voice a lot. That was the biggest thing.
Yep.
People attacked us for our voice and not necessarily our looks.
No, we haven't gotten much of that at all. It's just mainly.
Maybe sometimes our outfits, they'll say something about the outfits or, make a comment here and there. But honestly, we started to make it comical. We take screenshots of very, very crazy messages that people send us and we're like, did you see this one? This one's hilarious. Yeah. And we just kind of laugh it off now.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I feel like a lot of times people comment because they want a reaction from either you or from others.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not necessarily that they really just want to knock it. They just want to see that.
They just want to get a rise out of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aliyah, I'm Rodwa Elkafas, Food Dolls, our guest on DeRussia Eats. The cookbook is called Pretty Delicious. Pretty Delicious. Why that title?
Okay. So all of the food is delicious. You know, all of the food is so delicious. And the reason why we, well, our editor, Raquel, who was amazing, she sent us this title as the first idea, and we were sold from the beginning because it pretty much sums up Alia and I in everything.
Yeah.
All of our recipes are so delicious and the pretty. We love to make things look pretty, and we love to have pretty looking things with little effort.
Yeah, and we do have a chapter on styling and... We do have a chapter on styling and how to make your kitchen your happy place. So it just really ties everything together.
I like it when food looks pretty.
Absolutely.
Yep, I agree.
Sometimes you're like, okay, if you had to pick, do I want it to taste better or look better? It sort of depends on my mood.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll sacrifice a little flavor to make it look pretty.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Having a lot of colorful food, herbs, fresh herbs and flavors.
And pretty flowers.
Yeah, and pretty flowers.
Part of, I think, what makes your videos so different and what makes it cut through is sort of the storytelling style that you use, the visual and the whole thing. Describe, first of all, Radwa, why don't you describe, like, what, you know, so people listening who maybe haven't seen your videos before, how would you describe what your aesthetic or what your style is?
It's pretty.
Yeah.
It is pretty.
Yep.
It's sort of a point of view, video, though, right?
Yep. We do a lot of overhead. Unless we are doing a video together, then we kind of angle it differently. But we just want it to be as easy as it is to watch. It's as easy it is to make.
But as you watch it, it's like you're adding each ingredient in the thing.
Yep.
So you visually, you can pause it as you go, which is nice for doing a recipe.
Yep. Absolutely.
But also it does go to an aesthetic that I think was very, very popular, especially in the late, like the 2010s, which was that sort of natural sound ingredient kind of thing happening.
Yep.
How did you decide on like how you were going to make the videos look? Who is more of the videographer, the video angle?
Radwa, for sure.
Radwa, that's your idea?
Yeah.
So talk through like how you came up with that style.
You know, it was a lot of trial and error.
Because your videos today look so obviously so much better than when they started.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been following you guys since the beginning, so remember.
Yeah. You've seen how much it has evolved, and I think it's constantly trying to make them look better and better and better and growing with the videos and just trying to see what's more appealing and what's more visually appealing for people.
Yeah. When I think quality of like cameras, like technology has changed.
So what were you using when you first started?
We were using a Sony camera and then we changed to a Canon and now we just use our iPhone.
Everything. Straight up everything on the
phone. iPhone except for our photography.
Yep.
And what do you edit? Do you edit it or do you have people now? Like you're a big business. Do you have people or how does this work?
We have control issues where we like to have control over a lot of things.
We edit ourselves.
You edit your own videos?
Yeah.
Wow. So do you have anyone help? You must have someone help you with something. Like you can't.
Yeah, we do.
You can't manage a community of 9 million people.
Yeah, we have a photographer that comes and helps us with the pictures for all our recipes, and we do have some people that help us with the website. So we do have some people to help us for sure.
So obviously, there are so many people who want to do what you're doing. Do people ask you all the time, like, oh, how do I, how do I get my food video kind of TikTok or Instagram or whatever?
All the time. And we just always say, you just got to start.
Don't do it? Oh, you tell them to start.
Yeah,
I would tell
start.
Them don't do it. Stay out of my lane.
Yeah, right?
We're trying to feed our families here. You tell them just to start.
Yeah, just to start.
I think that's the hardest part about starting any business is just starting.
Yeah.
What do you think was the key to YouTube breaking through?
It was definitely, I'd say, after 2020, maybe, you know, later that
year.
After, yeah, it really did. And just knowing our direction and what it is that we wanted to do.
Yep.
When were you able to make money on this? Like, where you could, were you working before when you started or were you stay-at-home moms?
I was working from home, part-time job.
Part-time job.
Yep. And I was a stay-at-home mom at the time.
Yeah. Yep. And so how long did it take before you were like, okay, this is my job now?
Well, it took like a couple months to actually first get paid. But yep. then I think when we kind of shifted our focus and really focused on recipes, making it a full-time gig, you would say 2020, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
2020. Yep. And what is there one platform? Like, how do you make money?
Oh, we have so many different avenues.
It's complicated,
yeah,
right?
It really is. It is.
I think people don't know.
They
like,
don't.
When you see someone, do people still think, like, oh, you probably have another job? Like, what's your real job?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. A lot of people think that this is a hobby. Like, we just do it kind of for fun, but they don't realize that it's actually an actual career.
Yeah.
So,
It absolutely is a career. Oh, my goodness. There's no way that I think you could manage like another job along with this.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Agreed.
Not.
Agreed.
Yeah.
How many videos do you produce or how often do you publish?
We used to produce one a day for years until now. I think we will publish maybe three to five new recipes a week.
How do you keep coming up with new recipes?
You know, that's actually the easy part.
Really?
Yeah,
it really
absolutely.
Is.
We just get me and her on the phone. And we'll talk for an hour, and we'll have, like, 20 ideas. Easy.
It just happens. You're always. Do you keep, like, lists or stuff so you can kind of keep track of it? Or how do you manage that?
No. It's all
it's
in the brain.
It's just in your head. And then you shoot.
And then we shoot.
Yeah. Let's break. When we come back, I want to ask a little. You mentioned there are multiple ways that you make money. Is there a certain. Are there, you know, platforms that you do the best on? Whether it's Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, we'll ask a little bit. I kind of alluded to this before, but your title is pretty delicious. I think you both are also very beautiful.
Well,
I wonder, like, how much, if you think about that, when I look at people with success and recipe often, I wonder what the role is of that. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the book as well, which is really exciting for you both. Couple of local women done good. Alian Radwa Elkafas, Pretty Delicious Food Dolls is what they're known as. We'll be back here on DeRussia Eats. All right.
So sorry. It's Mary.
No, you're good. Do you want to?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Mary.
Exciting for you both. Couple of local women done good. Alian Radwa Elkafas, Pretty Delicious Food Dolls is what they're known as. We'll be back here on DeRussia Eats. All right.
So sorry. It's Mary.
No, you're good. Do you want to?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Mary.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Jason DeRussia with a message from Minnesota's pig farmers. Discover the meat of the North, pork. Pork is as Minnesotan as the lakes, trees, and people who call this state home. Did you know there are more than 30,000 pig farming families? They live and work in the North Star State, raising one of the safest, most delicious meats the whole world can enjoy. Pork is something we enjoy in the DeRussia family at least a few times a week. Maybe it's pork loin roast, shoulder, pork chops, ribs, bacon. Oh, I'm getting hungry just talking about it. It's so affordable, too. If you're looking for recipes, MNPork.com's got them. Great recipes like dilled pork cutlets, Parmesan-crusted pork chops, and you can feel good about eating pork from Minnesota farmers. They've been reducing their carbon footprint with better genetics, new technologies, and more. Pick up pork tonight for dinner at your local meat market or grocery store. Let's have Minnesota pork for dinner. Oh, yeah.
DeRussia Eats continues. Here's your host, Jason DeRussia.
Okay, we continue our conversation with the Food Dolls, local Minnesota video bloggers, recipe developers who have hit it big. Huge social media following, 9 million followers on multiple platforms. And now their first cookbook, their authors, Alian Radwa Elkafas with Pretty Delicious, out now, beautiful book. Talk about the... Oh, it'll be out by the time this. Yeah. Don't you worry. Yeah. By the time people hear this, it'll be out.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You know, it's the magic of podcasting. Yeah, this is how this works, right?
I'm like, wait.
Wait. What was it like deciding what recipes would be in the book? Was it different? Did you have to, like, recipe test in a different way compared to what you put out on the Food Dolls channel, Alia?
Yes, it was definitely a very hefty process. So we kind of had a list of our must-have recipes. Like, we had to have a dip section because we love dips. And, you know, we had to have, like, meals where it was, like, almost like one-pot meals, things that people could just throw together and have a quick meal. And we did have a lot of recipes that we did put together that we recipe tested multiple times, and we eventually were like, this one's not good enough, and we removed it. But yeah, it was definitely quite the process and a lot of testing back and forth. And
it's different, right, Radwa, because you have to have it written down in text form, which is, you don't have the video to go. Have videos, but in the book, it's the book.
Yep, exactly.
And it's interesting enough, when we went on vacation together and we created our list there. We sat down and writing down all the recipes that we wanted to have. It was just kind of like a rough draft of what we thought. And I know that it changed along the way. Like, okay, we're going to remove this. We're going to add this. We're going to put this one here instead. And then we came back home and then we just started recipe testing. And our first chapter that we tackled was dessert, because we love dessert so much.
You call the recipe style modern Mediterranean. Alia, what does that mean? What does that mean to you?
Well, basically, so like we said, our mom, our grandma, aunts, they all love to cook and spend hours in the kitchen and making very, like, intricate recipes. We wanted to make them with the same flavor profiles, but a lot simpler, so that we turned them into more modern recipes.
Yep.
So I want to ask you what it's like to be women in the public eye like this. And I ask this because I have spent much of my life in television news next to women who got treated very differently from the social media audience than I get treated. Mm-hmm. So I think it's difficult to be a woman in the public eye, but there are also maybe some advantages of being a woman in the public eye, especially in the digital sphere. I've said enough. I want you guys to talk about that. I think that's so, it's such an interesting component of being in the digital world today.
For sure. Well, when we first started, we actually weren't really in the videos. It was just our hands because we were really nervous to actually be. We were very nervous to be on camera, to be like out there. It took a really long time for us to finally get comfortable with it. And I think the fact that we do it at home together and usually nobody's around, that's why we've gotten comfortable with it. But even like doing TV, that makes us very nervous, you know?
Yeah, you guys, Radwa, you don't feel totally comfortable in that format?
I mean, I love doing it at home because I can stop and edit and redo, because we laugh so much. You know, we giggle and we crack jokes. And when we're live, we have to be way more serious.
You have to be serious. Yeah. Why? Why do you have to be serious? You don't have to. But yeah, it is a little different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think the fact, so when you started showing yourself, like I said, I think you both are very beautiful. Does that help the reach, you think?
We don't know, because we don't see it that way at all,
totally,
actually.
I know, I can tell, like, when I say that, you're both like, really? I'm like, no, I think.
Yeah, it's totally different seeing it on this side. Even when you say, like, oh, you have 9 million followers, we don't think of it that way, you know? It just, you know, it's just a number for us. It's just a number for
us. Come on now. When you, no way. Really?
Seriously. I think because you get lost in what you're doing.
Was it different on the way up, though, when you hit the first 1,000 or hit the first
10,000. Absolutely. Agreed. That was a totally different. And I remember we would sit and talk to each other and be like, can you imagine if we had like 1 million people following us?
Do you remember what that moment was like? I mean, that just, it feels crazy. You're like, you're just a couple of moms from Eden Prairie.
Yep. And I think for us, the coolest thing is when we saw like other like chefs like seeing our content, like Giada, for example, when her and her daughter made our recipes a couple times. Yeah. We were just like, that's, I think, moments like that that felt kind of surreal to us. And just the response that we get from people is what makes it so much more than just the number.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
What kind of response has like touched you?
Just more so like, thank you for making our lives easier. Thanks for like showing us how simple recipes can be. And parent, like moms saying that their daughter, their kids, both daughters and sons, cooking with them, making recipes and sending us pictures. I think that's probably.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. So we love seeing responses like that.
Well, that's the other thing, I think. And I don't know if you guys thought about this as you started. But what I think is cool. Well, there are a number of things that I think are really cool about what you two have done. But the reality is that there are. For sure, tens of thousands of people out there who are actively cooking who maybe wouldn't otherwise, that you inspired them to cook a nice meal at home, make a memory for their family, make a moment, make something special. And those moments are powerful to think that, like, here in Minnesota, you two had, like, a part in that. Yeah. To me, is, like, pretty...
Yeah, it's amazing.
For sure. Yeah,
I'm sure you don't stop and think about that too often. You just have to keep going. But
for sure. Yeah, but I think for us, the one thing is our parents kind of really, like, food is such a big part of our culture. So they really kind of brought that to life. Even with our, like, extended family, we always had dinners and get-togethers, and it was always around food and, like, eating, and food really just does bring people together.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like, regardless of backgrounds, it's just food is kind of a love language for a lot of people, you know?
And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to bring that into this book, but just make it really simple. So a lot of the ingredients you already have in your pantry, or if there are, you know, a spice like sumac that you might not have, but we use it a lot throughout the book, so you will use it more than just for one recipe. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. Like, you buy something for a recipe and you don't use it again,
the
and then it's just there. But no, we made sure that... We use it multiple times, and you will find it in multiple recipes. And the recipes are so simple and easy. That's kind of what we wanted.
Now, you both have kids. Do your kids, like, do they know you're sort of online famous? Do they make fun of you for this? Do they like it?
I think they don't know what to do with it sometimes. Like, they,
like, it's got to be weird that like your mom is kind of famous, right?
Yeah, and for a while, even they didn't even know how to explain it. They don't know what to say exactly what we do, especially our younger ones.
Yeah,
or Rudwell's oldest and my youngest are a few months apart. But when we were starting, they had
no idea,
what we were doing and how to describe it to friends or teachers or anything.
Then they just started saying. They're YouTubers.
This is what every kid wants to be. Like, you two are the coolest thing going. The kids want to be a YouTuber.
Yeah, it's funny because when they do describe it to anybody, they just describe it as YouTube. And
It's hilarious.
It's really funny.
Yeah, because when we were all younger, you're like, that just wasn't even a thing.
Yeah, agreed.
To think, I mean, do you two ever look and think, like, I can't believe that this is what our life is?
Oh, yeah, for sure. All the time. All the time.
Like, we would have never realized that this is, like, if you had asked us, whatever, 10, 15 years ago, we would have never thought that we'd be here, you know? So it's been quite a journey.
Do you think, you know, you've mentioned your culture a couple of times. I think another aspect of Food Dolls that made it pop was the fact that, like, you don't see Egyptian Americans out there doing recipes. Certainly in 2015 when you started. Have you had response from kids from Mediterranean descent, other people with olive or darker colored skin that relate to you too? Have they reached out at all?
Yeah, for sure, a lot. And I think a lot of times there are other, like, first generation, like, people like us that want recipes that are simple and more modern, and they don't know, because our parents are the type that will be like, oh, just add a little bit of this, add a little bit of that. There's no actual recipe. They've been able to make some of the same recipes with the flavor profiles without really spending a lot.
Oh, that's so interesting. Rob, what did your mom have recipes, or was it more like, oh, you just do this and you take a little taste? And
I used to call her and be like, hey, how do you make X, Y, and Z. And she would respond back with, oh, just put this and this and this and this and just put a little bit of that. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yep.
I need a recipe. Yeah. I need measurements. Yeah. I need instructions.
Yeah, because she'll be like, just put a spoon of this and a spoon of that. I'm like, Mom, how big is the
spoon?
And I'm like, is it a teaspoon or is it a tablespoon?
Is it heaping? What are we doing here?
Yeah. So that's how it was with grandma, aunts. They were all the same way. So
isn't that interesting? So in a way, you are helping to preserve the culture and pass it on to the next generation.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. But to be fair, we did add a lot of our Midwestern side. So a lot of our recipes are fusion too. We do have a lot of our, you know, like...
Yeah, this is not a this is not a Mediterranean authentic.
No, it's definitely not authentic, even though we do have some like recipes that are originally Egyptian that we've simplified, but it's definitely not like it's not what grandma would make.
What do you think about those conversations about authenticity?
Oh, that makes some people really mad sometimes, that's for sure. But
does it matter to you? Authentic?
No,
I never know what people mean by that. It sounds like kind of coded to me.
It does, because the thing is, an authentic is different, I think, for every family, too, and every culture, every tradition. Like, even when you go back to Egypt, every family has their take on, like kofta, for example, or anything.
Yeah.
Like, they have their own spin on it. And so what one family does, another one doesn't. So it is a very loaded.
Yeah, I think it's loaded.
It is.
And a lot of times when people are talking about restaurants and authentic, like they sort of mean inexpensive is like the other part of that that's in there.
Yeah. Agreed.
You're like, I don't know.
Yeah, truth.
Yep.
And shouldn't you be able to like make whatever food you want to make?
100%.
Exactly,
yeah.
Is there a tater tot hot dish
that
Mediterranean
did not,
style?
No, actually,
that did not make the cut.
Didn't make the cut.
It didn't make the cut.
Everybody has their own authentic version
of
that.
Yeah, that's very true.
That is for sure. Pretty Delicious is the name of the book. Aliyam Radwa, The Food Dolls. We talked about the different platforms. Mm-hmm. Where all can people find Food Dolls? You started on Facebook.
We're on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, Threads,
Snapchat,
YouTube,
everywhere.
Everywhere there's a social media platform, you'll find us.
Yeah. Yep.
And is one of the Aliyah, what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite that you enjoy being on?
I would say Instagram. I like Instagram, but posting wise, I think Facebook.
You're millennial, right?
Yeah.
Instagram.
Yeah.
It feels right.
Yeah.
Everything, I'm Gen X, but still, like, everything is a little foreign to me.
I know. It is. And I feel like there's different people on every platform. I mean, TikTok, you've got the younger crowd, and then there's Facebook, you've got the older crowd. So it's like every platform has its follower.
But you post the same video on all of those things?
We do. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, aren't you so glad that it works in every format?
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
It would be very hard. Like we used to post different videos on different platforms. It's a lot of work to do that. So at least when we have the same content, we could post it everywhere. The one thing we don't do is long form on YouTube.
Yeah. Mm. We just post them as shorts.
Yeah.
So when people comment, do you reply or do you... You do reply.
We try to reply, but sometimes there's a lot of comments, so it really just depends.
And is it you, or do you have someone helping?
It's both of us.
It's you guys?
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm shocked that you guys do this. I can't believe that you don't have an assistant that, like, pretends to be you or something.
No, not on the social platforms. We do that ourselves.
We want people to comment to us and know we're responding back, and it's not just...
Yeah.
Yep.
Someone else.
It's amazing.
So,
do you think is it about the videos and the recipes, or is it about like the connection with you, the feeling of community? What do you think it really is? Because most people aren't going to make these recipes.
Yeah, I think
yes, they are.
They are not.
Yes, they are.
No.
Yes.
It's like food TV. They are not.
They are making our recipes.
Yeah. Well, yes, but like, okay.
Are they're saving
how many,
it. Or
pull up your last video.
Okay.
What's the last video? I don't believe you guys.
Well,
I think
our last
no
video
way.
Was a cookbook recipe, so that was to... do the one before that, okay?
All right, so here we go.
Okay, how about look at the sheet pan chicken fajita?
All right,
we know that people made that recipe.
All these things want me to log in. Go on your phone now.
Okay.
This is wonderful podcast. We're looking it up live.
Look at this. There's no way that people did not make this recipe.
Yeah, this because one had.
Well, I didn't say people aren't making the recipes, but it's like I write a restaurant review.
That's true.
How many people do you think are going to the restaurant that read the review? Like 5% if I'm lucky. Now let's see this video.
So this one has 5 million views, but yeah.
5 million views.
But here's the thing, 5 million
sheep
people.
Sheep pan chicken fajitas.
Yep.
5.3 million views only on this Instagram reel.
Yes.
Holy crap.
So yeah, maybe 5 million people have
it. How many people, Alia, how many people do you think are making this recipe?
Well, I'd say the amount of people that maybe saved it.
There you go.
Which
so,
is...
So, like, what is that?
Oh, into... Okay.
10,000.
That's perfect.
Well, yes, but it's not 5 million, Radwa. That's all okay. I'm saying. Most of the people watching...
Okay, but you have to remember...
...are not
going to
make it.
It's through a span of time. It's not they're making it that day. It could be within...
All right, you are out of your mind. 5 million people are watching it. If you get 10,000 people to make it.
That's true.
That is amazing. But also the reality is that's 4,990,000 watching your video who are not going to make it.
That is
they're
a good
make
point.
It. They're going to
make it. They are not going to make it.
Okay, how about if they're not going to make it, they're going to be inspired by it.
Yeah, and then they're going to make it without following the recipe. Just this is a great dinner idea for today.
But it's also entertaining. It's fun to watch people do it. It's like when you watch food TV. Like if you watch your favorite celebrity 100%. Chef making a recipe, it is fun to watch people who love food talk about food, make food, and then you're like, and tonight I'm door dashing. you know, whatever. Like
that is the reality. Yes. We understand that completely.
Yeah. And it's fine. Like that is sort of how you have to do it, right? You have to hit a large audience to get like a decent chunk of people who will actually make it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
But really, so I suppose what I'm pushing back on is whether the point of this is really to entertain people. Mm-hmm. Well, because in a way, like that is what it is, right? Yeah.
Well, I think ultimately social media is a form of entertainment, you know, everything, you know. Yep. So, yeah, we do agree with that.
I don't know. It's all right. The book is out there. Is doing a cookbook. People are going to think that you guys are rich now because you have a cookbook.
It's funny that you say that, but I think people have a very like skewed opinion to how how it is you know that
how social media works how you know
a cookbook works
they assume everything with and your numbers and how YouTube is and all of that and now we have a cookbook so they don't know
are you rich.
I mean, that not an answer.
but has turned out to be a pretty good living for you guys, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yep. But the work that it takes to do it.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's so easy. Like, look at this 15-second clip. And sometimes that 15-second clip took us all day long to do.
Yeah.
You know? So I think there's...
Well, and it took you 10 years.
To
get to where you are today.
Sure. Yep.
And I think people miss the fact that there's the recipe development part, the prep time, the filming part, the editing, and it's like such a short clip, but it's so much work. And then the website, it's a lot of things to run and then the different platforms. So
and the business management side of things and, you know, we are lucky to have each other as sisters to be able to do this together because we always talk about the fact that if we were doing this alone, we'd be drowning.
Because it's so much.
Yeah. Yep.
Radwa, you lead to our final question. I hope people will go get the book. It's called Pretty Delicious Food Dolls. You can go to fooddolls.com to find all of the recipes, all their information, and just search Food Dolls. Good name, by the way. Who came up with Food Dolls?
Oh, gosh, that was a tough one.
I think we both kind of came up with it. Yep. We had a list, and our biggest thing is we needed the name to be, we needed to secure the name on all platforms.
So you had to have the website.
So we had to make sure everything.
Facebook.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Food Dolls was available, and we're like, okay, this is it. We're doing it.
Good enough.
Yep. Good enough.
Lock it down. Yeah. It's been a good name, right?
It has been a good name.
Yeah.
But Rob, while you bring up the final point I wanted to ask both of you, which is, you know, a lot of us love our siblings. Some of us love slash hate our siblings. But what has it been like building this business, building this? Really, you two are a media company. You are, it's not just YouTubers. It's not just, you are a media company. What has it been like doing it with your sister and doing it here in Minnesota?
Okay, I'm not just saying this because she's sitting right next to me.
I could get her out of the room if you want to get the real talk.
I think we should kick her out of the room. Honestly, for me, I wouldn't have picked anybody else to run a business with. You know, I think we complete each other and we know our strengths and weaknesses and we kind of really hone in on that. Yeah. We fight like sisters. We have our arguments.
We have our
disagreements. And yes, there's times where I'm like, I can't talk to you right now. And she does the same thing to me. But we always come together. And I think this has been such an honor to work with her.
Mm. Yeah, likewise. So it's been great. And
you don't get to just say likewise and call it an answer.
Seriously, that's the older sister thing.
I know.
That's so her. That's what she would do. But that's okay. I know she loves me.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'm very, very lucky to get to work with her and to call her first thing in the morning. Like, okay, what's on the agenda today? And so I'm very blessed.
It used to be, what are we making for dinner? And now it's, what are we going to make for our followers?
Yeah.
Do you still cook for the family?
Oh, yeah. We have to.
Yeah. They just get the leftovers from the shoots? Or how does this work?
Sometimes recipe testing or recipe fails. Yeah. They get to try it all.
Yeah, they do get the fails a lot.
This was so interesting. I just really enjoyed talking to you. And it's been so fun to see your success. It's just so organic and such a great... you know, you weren't celebrities before, you were moms, and you just kind of built this thing through hard work, and it's been really fun to watch. So
thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having us, and thanks for following along, because we know you've been one of the first.
Yep.
I'm old.
I appreciate it.
What can I tell you? It happens. Pretty Delicious is the name of the book, The Food Dolls, here on DeRussia Eats. Thanks so much for listening to the DeRussia Eats podcast. On WCCO Radio, 830 AM, we do conversations with chefs, with farmers, with small business people every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. The podcast is available every week. If you enjoyed what you heard, I would love for you to leave us a review. Give us however many stars you can. I don't know, 10, 20 stars would be nice, 5 stars, and leave your feedback as well. It really helps us grow and helps support covering the food community here at WCCO Radio and in the DeRussia Eats podcast. If you'd like to email me with an idea or a question about the restaurant scene, you can email Jason at Odyssey, AUDACY.com. Jason at Odyssey.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the DeRussia Eats podcast.
Thanks for listening to DeRussia Eats. Dan Cook is our producer. Jason DeRussia is your host. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. DeRussia Eats is a production of Odyssey.